Further Review is brought to you by Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store. Visit us online at consumersbeverages.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Further Review, which is sort of going to be a further preview of the Bills moving forward. I'm Ryan O'Halloran, Buffalo News here in Denver. Jay Skursky joins me as always. He's back in Buffalo. And Jay, let's very briefly hit on the Bills-Patriots game from yesterday, where the biggest news was the Patriots fired Gerard Mayo right after the game. But from a Bills perspective, I watched one play of that game. I had my eye on it a little bit. What were some of your takeaways in terms of the Bills moving forward from what you saw?
Well, so was it the Josh Allen handoff that you watched, the perfectly executed? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, then somebody tapped me on the shoulder. It was a Broncos executive. He says, let's go down to the field. I said, all right. So I had capable hands in Foxborough.
Okay, yes, yeah. Yeah, so Allen executed a perfect handoff and then came out, ran over to the sideline and gave a wave, celebrated extending his streak of consecutive starts. And really that was what yesterday was about, Ryan, was the Bills had some records in mind, some streaks in mind, some incentives in mind, and you could tell that there was a I don't know if urgency is the right word, but there was an awareness of those from Sean McDermott. It was important to him in some ways. James Cook, you know, gets to 1,000 yards rushing, 16th rushing touchdown of the season for Cook, ties the single season franchise record set by O.J. Simpson way back in 1975. That's a big deal, right? And McDermott cared about it, and the team cared about it. They wanted to get Cook into the end zone. So a couple other incentives. I mean, the most exciting punt in history. Sam Martin gets it downed inside the 20-yard line in the third quarter with a great play from Jamarcus Ingram. In the process, wins $100,000. Must be nice. Good work if you can get it, right? Mac Hollins gets a couple of catches. Von Miller gets a sack to get to 6 for the season. Earns $1.5 million in a bonus. The reason that I'm running down this list is I am working to a point. And the point is that I think it is really good for the culture here in Buffalo that you have a coaching staff and a team that is aware of those things and does what they can within reason to get the players there. You want to get people interested in playing here? Yeah, obviously Josh Allen, right? And people are going to be interested in playing with Josh Allen. But I think to see the way that the coaching staff prioritized getting those guys to those numbers, right, whenever they could, in the situations that they could, I think that sets a really good example for the rest of the league. I like the message that it sent, and that's why I gave Sean McDermott an A for yesterday's performance in the report card. Even though they lost the game, I thought he handled that game expertly in terms of resting players, but also, within reason, doing what he could to get some numbers for some guys.
And like Sean Payton said yesterday, that the Broncos beat the Chiefs 38-0. Kansas City rested a bunch of guys. He goes, Andy's earned the right to do that. Sean McDermott earned the right to do what he wanted to do with that game yesterday. If there was a lot on the line, then incentives were secondary. But you took care of your business with the division. You took care of business with the number two seed. So enjoy the luxury of going into this final game and resting your quarterback and getting those other guys those benchmarks, because those are contractually obligated. You don't get a bonus for one fewer punt inside the 20. You know, the playtime stuff you can wiggle around a little bit, but you know, these are goals that these players had. They're aware of them. So, if you're a free agent, looking at the Bills, you're going to talk to some of those guys and say, hey, if you get close, they will take care of you. And like you said, that speaks volumes about what this organization has done.
Yeah, it was an oddly fun game to cover in that sense. You know, without a lot at stake, you're kind of watching to see, what happens. I think, in terms of what you take away from it, I mean, there was some good playing time for some younger guys that maybe has a little bit of value. But, honestly, this was about, getting those guys those numbers and then getting out of the game healthy. And that was the biggest thing for the Bills. They were able to do that. They really did not play many starters at all in this game. Rasul Douglas had a little bit of time. The safety tandem of Taylor Rapp, Damar Hamlin played. Then Cole Bishop came into the game. You and I, Ryan, maybe differed a little bit last week on what we thought might happen at that position. That's certainly an interesting one to watch, though. Where do they go at starter at safety? I think Taylor Rapp is certainly one of them, but do they use Bishop or Hamlin here against the Broncos and into the postseason? Offensively, they sat the entire offensive line. I mentioned Cook played. Wide receiver, Keon Coleman got a decent amount of time. They got Curtis Samuel back into the mix. he had a decent game, and it's, you know, you do wonder, okay, well, Sean talked about wanting to get a longer look at some guys. I think Samuel would maybe be on that list. Can he carve out any kind of a role here in the playoffs? So those were a few of the player takeaways, but again, you know, we shouldn't draw many conclusions from a game that the Bills didn't really have a huge interest in winning.
Get your cold beer here at Consumers Beverages, where you'll find the largest selection of craft, specialty, import, and domestic beer. Consumers Beverages has the fastest empty container returns at all 18 locations. Visit ConsumersBeverages.com, Buffalo's Beer Store.
And Ryan, you were not in Foxborough with us yesterday covering the Bills-Patriots because you were out west in Denver to see the Broncos-Chiefs. Could Denver secure that final wild card spot in the AFC? They did so in resounding fashion, 38-0. As you mentioned in the first segment, obviously the Chiefs sat Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, a lot of their other starters. You could probably tell us exactly how many, but nevertheless, dominant performance from the Broncos, whether you're going against first teams, second teams, third teams, whatever. What do you make of Denver's performance yesterday and this first round matchup for the Bills?
Yeah, I was impressed by the Broncos. And, you know, the caveat is there. The Chiefs rested Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, Pacheco, Hopkins, Marquise Brown, a lot of their O-line. But 18 for 18 passing to start the game is still 18 for 18. This is the NFL. They have live rushers. This wasn't two-hand touch. And I thought I was impressed by Nick seeing him in person the first time, mostly because of his athleticism and leaving the pocket. And even Sean Payton said after the game, that's been a surprise. They knew he could process. They knew he could throw the football. But his mobility is something the Bills have to pay attention to. But the Broncos, you know, this was their third chance to clinch this. They wasted the first two at the Chargers, at Cincinnati. So they came in with, with obviously tons of incentive. You know, and they played like it. You know, their second touchdown drive was 11 minutes long. The Chiefs just had no answers. So I think this is a Bronco team that's playing with house money, and that makes them dangerous. And a lot of young guys, a lot of players making their playoff debut. This is the Broncos' first appearance in the postseason since they beat Sean McDermott's Carolina Panthers in February 2016. But like, the number one reason why this Bronco team is something to be wary of is they had 63 sacks, and that is a lot. That's a franchise record. They got two guys with more than 10. They have good balance with their pass rush. And Pat Surtain at corner, he's an all-pro guy, so the Bills will have to make the decision on that. But I was impressed by the Broncos, but you know they are an underdog coming to Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, an 11-minute drive would suggest that they were able to stay on the field on third down with some conversions, right? You don't get that many plays or that long of a drive without some conversions, and that's been an area for the Bills' defense that, you know, I thought they were a little bit better in yesterday, but again, you're not drawing too many conclusions from that game against, going up against backups and playing backups. So, yeah, I think the Broncos, playing with house money is a really good way of putting it, right? You know, you got a rookie quarterback. I don't know that many expected them to be here and to, you know, kind of fritter away those first couple of opportunities to clinch, but then to do so in resounding fashion. It's got to give them a lot of confidence coming to Buffalo. They know that they're decided underdogs. They're clearly playing with nothing to lose in this game. I will be interested to see, we haven't heard much about their running game, right? And that's been a weakness for the Bills too. And so, you know, you look at McDermott's record against inexperienced quarterbacks, whether they're rookies or maybe second-year guys without a lot of starts, and it's resounding in the success that the Bills have had against those types of players. So, listen, we'll spend a lot of time talking, a lot of time writing, clearly, about this game moving forward, but there's no excuse for the Bills. This is the matchup that they probably wanted. You didn't want the Bengals, you know, and even the Dolphins. You know, the Dolphins without Tua, you would have taken that over the Broncos, but there was some uncertainty there. So I think if you go back to where we sat here in these chairs in September after week one or even before the season started and said, hey, the Bills are going to be the number two seed. They're going to open the playoffs at home. They're going to be home for at least 2 weeks. And in the first round, they're going to draw a rookie quarterback in the Broncos. You would have taken that matchup.
Yeah, and you mentioned McDermott's history. I mean, his defense has a way of clouding the picture, so to speak, and confuse a rookie quarterback. And I think that's what they'll be able to do. Good thing for the Bills' defense, the Broncos can't really run it. I mean, they're 20th in the league. They averaged less than 4 yards a carry yesterday. So I think this matchup is okay. Can the Bills secondary, Cortland Sutton's a good receiver. Marvin Mims is a take-the-top-off-the-defense receiver, but they also throw a lot to the flats to the running backs. Matt Milano's got to be on point. If they use Dorian Williams and some other third-down packages, he's going to have to be on alert for those and tackle well. So, this is a game where the Bills should be favored. They are favored, and I really like them in this game. But I think it will be a one-score event. All right, Jay, let's go back to the Bills for a second. We talked about the safety position last week, and you mentioned it in the first segment. Today, DeMar Hamlin played the entire game, all 64 snaps. Taylor Rapp started, played the first 27, and then Cole Bishop in to take the Bills to the finish line. What do you make of the Hamlin playing the whole game? Is Sean McDermott maybe, and I'm Bobby Babbage, are they sort of on the fence on who to go with alongside Taylor Rapp next week?
Yeah, I think that's a fair takeaway from that. I mean, we have to remember that he missed the last three games, right? So they wanted to get him some game reps. But I do think that, as I mentioned before, McDermott, using the phrase wanting to get a more of a look at some guys, clearly Hamlin's on that list, right? Because, Cole Bishop, I think, did some good things when he came into the lineup for Hamlin. He's still a rookie. I do wonder about the trust level that McDermott has with Bishop. There's been some high-profile breakdowns, you think, to the Houston game, you think to the Detroit game, where Bishop was in and plays got behind the Bills' defense. That is not something that we're used to seeing in Buffalo. McDermott doesn't have a lot of tolerance or patience for big plays, especially behind the secondary. And, you think back to, the last 6 years here, right, with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, probably as trusted of two players in this defense as you could have, right? They could have gone out and coached the defense by their end of their time here. You can't do that with Cole Bishop, right? Understandably, as a rookie. So I do wonder, the trust factor there. Would they make such a big move with their starting lineup? I think there's a couple other factors at play too. You don't like to see a guy lose their job because of injury, and that would probably be what would happen here with Hamlin. Giving him the opportunity to get back and play that entire game, now I think the Bills really have a good feel for where he is physically, where he is in terms of the defense. They saw him with Rapp in the first half of that game. So I think it's a tough decision for McDermott. Honestly, I think it's one I'm sure he'll be asked about it today. I'm sure Bobby Babbage maybe will be asked about it as well. I don't anticipate we'll get a firm, strong answer on that until maybe even later in the week, if at all. But I could see this one going both ways. Where do you land on it?
Yeah, I can see both guys playing. So I'll meet you in the middle there. Is just to recap a little bit. Last Wednesday, Sean McDermott, very high on his praise of Cole Bishop, more than at any point this season. Well, that put the light bulb on for me that they think the kid has made a lot of progress. Then on Friday, McDermott said DeMar Hamlin's going to play the whole game. And to me, that was telling as well, because if you really felt good about it, you get him back in there after missing those three games and you give him a Taylor Rapp workload. And then you go Cam Lewis, Jamarcus, anybody else at safety. So I do think this may be a horses for courses deal, though. What Cole Bishop, I thought, brought was some physicality as a run defender, which they've needed, bring him close to the line of scrimmage. Well, that's not Denver's game right now. So maybe you start, I think they start Hamlin out of a little bit of a loyalty and a little bit more of a track record. But maybe you mix in some packages with Bishop. If the Broncos go heavy, maybe you put Cole in the game. It's unorthodox to be rotating safeties like that, but I think you do want to keep Cole Bishop a little sharp in case you need him later in the playoffs. But I think it's a positive that Hamlin made it through the game and showed that he was healthy, because, as you said, it gives them options, because now they can roll out every nickel, every dime package they want.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't hate the idea at all of rotating. It is unorthodox, as you said, but we've seen it before with McDermott. He's done it at cornerback. He's done it at right tackle, going back to Cody Ford being here with I think it was a veteran, whoever it was, but whatever. The point is that he has done it before. It is a little unorthodox, but I don't mind the idea, honestly. And to your point about Hamlin, maybe getting the start, I think he's earned that. I think it would maybe send the wrong message if you were to not do that, not start him in this game just because of what he's done for the team this season. But if he struggles, you could go to Bishop. You could go to Bishop just because you want to give him those reps as you prepare for ideally the divisional round and beyond in the playoffs. So I think that is a possibility. It would be a little bit strange to see it, but I wouldn't rule it out. And I also don't think it's the worst idea. And Ryan, good example of what a cold, cold world the NFL can be. We're in the press box in Foxborough. It's 90 minutes after the game. We're writing our stories, and word comes out that the Patriots have fired Gerard Mayo after a win. So congratulations. Thanks a lot for all the service, and you know, we'll have security escort you out here less than 2 hours after the game has ended. Crazy, crazy times. Black Monday, right, is traditionally referred to in the NFL. We've already seen a team that you're familiar with, the Jacksonville Jaguars, fire Doug Peterson. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, our old buddies from here in Buffalo, are going to stick around in New York with the Giants. On a personal level, happy to see that for Daboll. I thought for sure he was in danger with the way that their season really cratered there. You know, what do you... Well, let's start here. What's the most attractive job that's open right now in your mind, keeping in mind that there might be a couple of more openings here still to come?
Yeah, I think it's the Patriots. I think Drake May is the real deal. You just got to get him talent. They have a lot of cap space. You look at the division, the Bills are obviously head and tails, but the Jets are meandering. I think the Dolphins are in for a really big fall that started this year. So if the Patriots, they got to get their personnel department figured out. Let's face it, as soon as Mike Vrabel interviewed with the rival Jets, I think that sprung Patriots ownership into action. And I think Gerard Mayo knew going into the game he was done, so he played Joe Milton as a bleep you to the Patriots. You're not going to get this number one pick if you're going to send me packing. But the Jaguars, I think, is a bad job because they kept Trent Baalke as GM. He doesn't have nine lives. He has 99 lives. And this is a team that's going to have to play in Orlando or Gainesville as they renovate their stadium. They may play four games in London. I thought that was going to be the Ben Johnson spot if Ben Johnson was allowed to pick his GM, which I think he's going to get somewhere. So the picture in Jacksonville is cloudy. Chicago, I don't trust the president or the GM. But I'm glad, like you said, the Giants, I want to see Brian Daboll draft a quarterback and get a year, at least a year to develop him, because that's what he does best. Bills fans know that. But anywhere else around the league for you that would be attractive?
Well, let's start with unattractive. The Saints, I think, is the worst job in the league right now. I think with where they're at cap-wise and where they're at quarterback-wise, that's a really tough sell. I think Jacksonville's a tough sell with Baalke, as you just mentioned, although, you know, you've got to believe that there's an offensive-minded coach out there somewhere who thinks, hey, I can work with Trevor Lawrence, right? So you're not starting at the bare minimum in Jacksonville. Yeah, I'm with you. I think New England is the most attractive job. I'm fascinated, though, Ryan, by the AFC East. This is something I talked about last night with some of the other guys covering the team. I mean, when is the Bills run in this division? I mean, it shows no signs of slowing down. I mean, these teams are nowhere. They're absolutely nowhere. The Patriots are without a head coach and have significant personnel questions in terms of their drafts have just been atrocious. You know, you look at the talent on that roster beyond May, it might be the worst in the NFL. The Dolphins should have made changes. It's a huge mistake. I mean, I am all the way out on Mike McDaniel as a head coach. I mean, it is the effort. They do not look like an NFL football team without Tua. And I get it, right? Any team is going to struggle without their starting quarterback, but the issues that the Dolphins have, you've got players saying that they were soft, right? Questioning the culture down there. You've got Tyreek Hill, a team captain, tapping out of the game, evidently, and then saying they want out. You've got, a head coach who, what's he done? I just don't understand the love affair with Mike McDaniel. They can't beat anyone of consequence, and this is years now. They just can't, and again, for an offensive-minded head coach to have an offense that looks that inept when you lose your starting quarterback is just damning in my mind. And I think Chris Greer did a terrible job. He built a really expensive roster that can't win. And so what are you bringing them back for? I mean, if you're a Bills fan, yesterday was a great day, and the team lost, right? The Patriots lose the number one pick. The Jets are the Jets, and they're going to continue to Jets. And then the Dolphins are bringing back two guys who I think have proven that they can get to a wild card game, and that's about it. And so, you know, the division to me is the Bills, and it's the Bills for this run of five straight. I think it's going to continue. I mean, why wouldn't it at this point?
Can we tell that Jay had a flight delay last night? So he had a lot of time to formulate these thoughts. But you're right. And every time I type this, and I've typed it a couple times, they clinched the division on December 1st. I mean, that's like eye-popping. But you're right, this team is in position to keep doing this. You know, that number one seed is still elusive. The AFC West, let's see what Las Vegas does. I mean, I think Tom Brady's really going to be involved there with the hiring of a coach and a picking of a quarterback. So the AFC West is getting tougher. Maybe they're getting closer to Kansas City. I mean, the Chargers and the Broncos both made the playoffs. But, you know, if you're the Bills going into next season, you know, 5-1, 6-0 in the division, I mean, to me, that should be the bare minimum. That's how you get the number one seed, is you take care of bad teams. That's what they did this year. The starters went 5-0 against the division.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll be interested to see the Chargers here in the first round. They win again yesterday, so they draw the Texans. I think that was the most desirable first round opponent, certainly over the Bills or the Ravens as the three seed. So, you know, plenty of time, though, to look ahead to potential divisional matchups and things like that. The Bills, though, have to take care of business. That will be Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Denver Broncos in the wild card round. We've waited all season for these weeks here. This is the fun time of year to cover the team, to read about the team, to watch the games, right? And so Ryan and I will be back next Monday. Make sure you're staying at BuffaloNews.com all week, because Ryan, myself, Mark, and Catherine will have a ton on the start of the playoffs and the matchup against the Broncos. So for Ryan O'Halloran in Denver, I'm Jay Skursky in Buffalo. Thank you so much for watching Further Review, and we will talk to you in a week at BuffaloNews.com.
Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store since 1948. Find out what our latest deals are by visiting consumersbeverages.com.